The code for this podcast is SSAT002. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is eternal salvation. This is discussion number 2 of 18, and covers the scripture reference of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 23 to 31. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts. And those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a 0. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a -1. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how he is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the sites and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This morning in my quiet time, we are busy reading through the spiritual development measurements. So it's the measuring your spiritual survival strength. We're reading through the scriptures that are listed there. And based on that, we are evaluating where we stand. And what's important to note is that everyone is on a different journey. And Holy Spirit is on that journey with them. And so nobody can measure themselves against another person. You can sit down 2 or 5 or 10 of you together, and you'll each have different things from the Holy Spirit when it comes to this. And depending on your journey towards Him, and a way to explain this best is if you had a piece of paper, you put a dot in the center of that piece of paper, and that centerpiece was Jesus. And you made a bunch of dots around the rest of the paper. None of them are going to travel in the same direction. They're all going to travel towards the center. So none of them can tell the other exactly what they should be doing. Only the Holy Spirit knows that. So the order of actions that have to be taken, or the situations that each one is in, are completely unique to that individual. So you can never do this exercise as a comparison with other people. You can never compare your scores to other people. The score that you get is ultimately for you to understand, hang on a minute, this is where I'm good, this is where I'm not good. And I was doing the same exercise with someone a long time back. And it was amazing when I was doing it with them, because there were a couple of times that I honestly thought, you know what, Lord, this scripture is for them. And when I said to them, so what did the Holy Spirit say to you? And they said, no, he says I'm good. But at the same time, the Lord had something to say to me about that same scripture. So you can't do comparisons. You can't do evaluations on others, etc. This is your personal journey. So when you read these scriptures, some of them are quite long. When there's a longer section, there's a deeper message, and you pick up that deeper message through the whole text. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this section through, which is in Mark 10:23-31. I'm going to read this section through, and as I read it through, you're welcome to get your Bibles open, pause here and get your Bibles open. I'm obviously reading from the Old King James Bible, because that's the only one I can trust to be accurate. Every Bible has some challenges in it, but this one is the only one I can trust. I've just found it resonates with the Holy Spirit and me just perfectly. I actually did an exercise where I did comparisons against the Jewish Torah, and I found this was the only one that actually across religions and maintained its integrity. So I trust this one. Anyway, I'm going to read it to you, and to me, I've read it through, obviously, I've had my quiet time, but I'm going to read it through. Alright, so, and Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this eye of the needle, there are a number of different views on this. The one that I've subscribed to is, there was within the cities in those days, because they wanted to stop marauders and people like that, they had massive gates to allow for everything. Those big gates were open during the day. But at night, it was only really big enough for a person to get through. You could definitely not get a camel that was loaded through. And if you did get a camel through, you first had to unload that camel completely. And then the camel would have to go through on its knees. And then you could then reload the camel on the other side. But the point that Jesus is making here is you have to be ready to shed everything that you own. There can be no physical things that of this world that binds you, that controls you, that, and it's easy to know if it controls you. Can you give it away? If the answer is no, you know, it controls you. You don't control it. Right? I'm not saying that you have to give it away. The question is, can you give it away? And if something controls you, you might want to give it away anyway, just to overcome it. And if it's something that's dark and evil, burn it, break it, destroy it. Don't give it to somebody else to become a snare to them, right? So it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus looketh upon them and saith, with men impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many first shall be lost, and the lost first. It's important to see here the word in the context of this. There is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. This does not mean you run away from them. This means that you make an agreement with them for a period of time sometimes, that you need to step out and go and do something God has told you to do, and that you go and do those things and then you return. But what it also means is that if God has given you an instruction to do something, you have to make a decision who you love more. And that can be very hard, very difficult. But I've noticed that when you do things that God says you must do, as hard and difficult as they are, it tends to save all of your family further down the line. It is, you know, we can't begin to understand God, but he's outside time, and he knows sometimes he's got to say to you, listen, I need you over here, because this is where you need to make this difference. And his promise that you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, obviously with the persecutions, because the persecutions come for sure. That I can attest to is true. I was asked by the Lord, and I stepped into his guiding request, and I can say that at the end of nearly 4 years, we've been blessed in ways that we couldn't imagine. We've all been tested and challenged, and it's been hard. It's grown us spiritually. It's absolutely grown us spiritually. And it's been very difficult. And there's arguments that one can make about whether or not, you know, things were done in the right way and sequence and order and all the rest of it. All of those things can come to bear, but the reality is God has been so faithful. He really and truly has been so faithful. If you want an insight into just how faithful God can be when you give him all of yourself and all of who you are, you'll find that you can look up in that same link, multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll find a book in there called The Timeless Journey. There's also an audio version of it further down the page. And, you know, I was going through it. I love to listen to it from time to time, but you need tissues, honestly. You just see such incredible love of God and love of Jesus for us, like you can't believe in there. But you also see how people are grown and challenged and saved and restored. It's probably one of the most beautiful pieces of writing besides the scriptures that I have ever read. I thank God that it was brought across my path. So there you can also listen to that too. Let's go back to the scripture. So if God has called you, there's two places in this section here that talks about salvation, because that's what we're covering, right? Salvation. The first one is in verse 26-27, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men impossible, but with God all things are possible. And this is the truth. You cannot, there's nothing that you can do that can actually save you, except that you get down on your knees and you shed everything that you own. Doesn't mean you have to give it away, but it mustn't control you. You must be able to give it away or do whatever you feel God's calling you to do. You need to be able to do that. All right. So long as nothing's controlling you, in other words, you've let go of the world. You've let go of the world. You get down on your knees and you say, Jesus, I want you inside me. Because that's the part that God can do that nobody can do. He then makes you a new creature. That is salvation. That is becoming saved. Right? And then the second part is further down, but he says, from 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man. By the way, that's person, right? The way that's translated. There's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. So you're not just leaving it for your own sake. You are spreading the gospel. You are out there doing something, right? But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. When you share the gospel, I have noticed you form bonds and relationships with people, and those people would welcome you into their house. You would be welcome among their families, and so you would have exactly what he's talking about, Joe. You would have 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands. I notice Father is never included here, because you will always only have your Heavenly Father, right? But then it says with persecutions, because Satan does not like that. And in the world to come, eternal life. So eternal life is not just about what God does while you're on your knees before him saying, please come into me. It's also about what you do with the gospel once you've received it. Do you keep it and bury it and do nothing with it? Or do you get it out there in one way, shape, or form? And this is an ongoing thing. This is an ongoing thing. Now, you may be someone at school and you think, well, I can't leave. I can't go anywhere. I can't do that. But sometimes going somewhere is just about getting out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's about looking around the playground and seeing there's somebody that's sitting on their own. Getting out of your comfort zone amongst all your friends and going and sitting with them. Sharing the gospel in that way. Sometimes it's about just listening to what Holy Spirit says and just saying the right thing to the right people. You know, the Holy Spirit knows where each one of us is. He's gifted each one of us in different ways. This doesn't mean to say everybody's got to go out and be a missionary and do that. No. He's gifted you in a specific way, and it's about you spreading the gospel through how he's designed you. So you don't measure yourself against any other person. You say, Holy Spirit, what have you put inside me to give out? And show me how to give it out. So if you're not in any way sharing the gospel, caring about people in that way, bringing God out there, then that's an area you probably need to do some work on. Now remember, it's a work that the Holy Spirit does in you. It's not something you have to, all right, now I'm going to go and change all of this, that, and the next thing. No, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. It's about you surrendering things. And you say, Holy Spirit, I want to be able to do this. I'm surrendering everything that's in the way, I surrender it. And when you do that, Holy Spirit will take you up on it. He will certainly take you up on it, and he will then start to present to you opportunities. And then it's up to you to take those opportunities when they are presented to you. Obviously, pray about it first. And what's important is if he calls you to leave any of your family to go somewhere, your brothers, your sisters, your mother and father, whatever the case is, if he calls you to leave all of those, right, it's a process. You need to include them in the conversation. First you need to pray about it. You know, I remember at one stage there was something the Lord asked me to do. I spent 70 days praying about it. I fasted and I read the scripture. And the Lord actually confirmed through scripture again and again and again. And looking back, I can see basically in the scripture that he told me all the things that I was going to face, and wasn't a pretty picture. And at the end of it, he said, are you still going to do it? Despite all of this that you're going to face, despite all of the rejections and all of that, are you still going to do this for me? And I said, yes. But I had brought my family on the journey. It had been, we'd had the conversations, we'd gone through this route. But whenever you step out in the gospel, just understand, you need to pray for your family. Because if Satan can't get you to stop, he's going to have a field day with your family. Unless you're praying for them. Unless you've actually spent time with them. I could probably have done things a lot better in that department first time around. If the Lord calls me to do something, I guarantee you that will be something I do better this time. God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day.